We are beginning Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis, 18 lines from the bottom, the Tehevi Pach. Our Mishnah and Gemara are discussing the Isser and the Psul of placing Shemen or Levoina in a Minchas Choyte or a Minchas Soite. It says in the Torah in Parshas V'Girka concerning the Minchas Choyte, Lo Yosim Aleho Shemen V'Lo Yiten Aleho Levoina Ki Chatoti. And in our Mishnah we learn that if someone places Shemen or Levoina on a Minchas Choyte, this applies to the Minchas Soite as well, there too in Parshas Nosai it says, Lo Yitok Olav Shemen, Lo Yitin Olav Levoina, that he is transgressing a lav, and there's a separate lav for the Shemen and a separate lav for the Levoina. The Mishnah then goes on to tell us that if he does put Shemen in this Mincha, then Paslat, then he has passled it. However, if he puts Levoina on the Mincha, the Locha is, says the Mishnah, Gil Katena, that he should gather the Levoina and the Mincha will once again be kosher. The Gemara has explained this based on a brisa. The Gemara brought a brisa that this means that as long as the Levoina is on the Mincha, it is not kosher. Just as in the case of Shemen, when he puts the Shemen in the Mincha, it's considered to be disqualified, it's posel. So also when he places the Levoina on the Mincha, that too disqualifies the Mincha. The Mishnah is telling us, Yul Katena, that however, since the Levoina consists of larger pieces, and it therefore can be removed, that he can remove it and take it away from the Mincha, and then the Mincha will once again be considered to be kosher. Therefore, the halacha will be that if at the time that the Levoina was still on the Mincha, he did the Kmitza, he did the Avoida of Kmitza, that will say that this is possible. Because at the time of the Kmitza, the Mincha was a Mincha Psula, since there was Levoina on the Mincha. So even though when he did the Kmitza, we're not speaking about a case where the Levoina was taken into his hand as part of the Kmitza, that in any case disqualifies the Kmitza in any Mincha. But rather, when the Levoina is on the Mincha, he does the Kmitza, he does a proper Kmitza, this disqualifies it because the Avoida is being done at a time when the Mincha is possible because of the Levoina. However, the Locha is Yul Katen, that if he takes away the Levoina before he does the Kmitza, then the Mincha once again is considered to be kosher, and then he can go ahead with the Kmitza and it's considered to be kosher. So the Levoina, in fact, does have it within its power to disqualify the Mincha. However, once the Levoina has been removed, the Mincha is considered to be kosher. An Avoida that he did at the time that the Levoina was still on the Mincha would be an Avoida Psula, because at that time the Mincha had this Psul, had the Levoina upon it, which disqualifies the Mincha. And the Braisa said, the Braisa applied this to the Halacha of a Machsheves Psul and Machsheves Pigel. The Braisa said that if at the time that the Levoina was still on the Mincha, he did an Avoida with a Machsheva, whether it be a Machsheva of Chutzlim Koyma or a Machsheva of Chutzlim Manoi, that the Mincha would be Psul. And it will not become pigul, because at the time that he does the avoida, since the mincha at that time is possible, since it's possible in any case, then the machshava of chutzlis mani does not make it into pigul. Rashi says, the halacha of pigul is that everything else has to be done properly with the mincha or with the korban, and then it can become pigul. This does not become pigul, even though there's a machshava chutzlis mani, because in any case, the avoida that he does at the time that the levoina is still in the mincha is not an avoida kshera. However, says the Braisa, that if he removed the Levoina and then he did the Avoida, and if at that time he had a Machshava of Chutzlis Manai, then it will make it into full Pigul, because at that time the Mincha once again becomes kosher, it's Roy Avoida once more, and if at that time when doing the Avoida he has a Machshava of Chutzlis Manai, it will become Pigul. If he has the Machshava of Chutzlis Manai, it becomes possible the Ein Bei Karas. But if he has a Machshava of Chutzlis Manai, it becomes Pigul, and if someone eats it, it will be Mechuyev Karas, because since at that time it's Roy Avoida, the Machshava is considered to be a full Machshava of Pigul. That's what the Gemara brought from the Braisa. The Gemara used this Braisa to prove that the Pshat in our Mishnah is that Yul Katena means that only after the Levoina is removed does it become kosher once more. But at the time that the Levoina is still on the Mincha, then it's still considered to be a Mincha Psula, and if he does an Avoida at that time, it cannot be considered to be an Avoida Kshera, because at that time it is disqualified from being a Mincha. Now the Gemara asks Akasha on this. Now we will first learn the Gemara following the Girsa of Tosis, because that's the more simple pshat in the Gemara, and then Emes Hashem will come back to Rashi. Tosis is Geiris in the Gemara, not as we have before us, V'tehevi Pach, V'amai Poslo B'machshova. According to our Girsa, there's some question on the Braisa concerning the Psul Machshova of the Braisa, as we'll see Emes Hashem when we get back to Rashi. Rather, Tosis is Geiris V'tehevi Dochui. This is a kasha, says Tosis, both on the Mishnah and on the Braisa. Now that we've proven from the Braisa that halach is that while the Levoina is on the Mincha, it's considered to be a Mincha Psula, and then when the Levoina is removed, we say that it becomes Kshera, the Gemara is asking the kasha, let it be Dochui. We know that concerning Kachim there's halacha of Dichui, that if something has been pushed aside from a Voida, and it's already after the time that it's been Niskavish in a Klisharis, it's been pushed aside from being Roy Lavoida for being Kosher, that even if that situation changes and it once again becomes Roy Lavoida, that it's still possible because of the halacha of Dichui. So that is what the Gemara is asking on this halacha of Levoina. How can we say that when the Levoina is on it, it's considered to be possible and it's not Roy Lavoida, and then when the Levoina is removed, that we say that it's once again kosher, and that then the avodas can be done, but tehevi dochi. Let it be dochi. Let it be considered something that has been pushed aside. And the halacha is that kiva shenidcha shuvein nira, that something that has been pushed aside does not come back. It's considered to be pushed aside forever. That's the halacha of dichoy, and cannot any longer be considered to be kosher. So that's the kasha. Tosfos says there's a kasha both on the Mishnah and on the Braisa. Tosfos is bothered by this, and Tosfos asks at the end of the Tosfos, this is Dibur Maskova Tehevi Pach, that what is the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara already quoted the Braisa that we learn from the word chatas that it says in that pasuk, that it says, Lo yosem aleho shem v'leitin aleho levoina ki chatas. And we learn from the word ki chatas that it's still kosher even after the levoina was placed there, as long as the levoina was removed. So if we learn it from a pasuk, it's exeris akosif, how can the Gemara ask a kasha that it should be dochui? The Shita Mekubetzis, however, brings a slight variation on Tosis and says that in fact the Gemara's kasha is on the Braisa, more than on the Mishnah itself. As far as the Mishnah itself is concerned, we could have learned, as the Gemara suggested before, that even though it says Yilkatena, it doesn't mean that it's really possible before he takes away the Levina. It means that since the Levina is not such an integral part of the Mincha, doesn't become as much one with the Mincha as the Shemin does, that therefore it does not pass over the Mincha. And even when the Levina is still there, we can say that the Mincha is a Mincha Kshera. Therefore, on the Mishnah, we could not have asked the Kasha, let's say that it's Doche, that once it's been pushed aside, it's been pushed aside forever. Because it's not been pushed aside at all. We say that Levina does not make it possible, even at the time that Levina is there. But since we've proven from the Braisa that, in fact, at the time when the Levina is there, it is possible, and it only becomes kosher once again when the Levina is removed, then we have a Kasha on the Braisa. How can we say this? This is a contradiction to the Halacha of Dichoy. And even though the Gemara understood that even though we learn it from a Pasuk, but it's not Mestaber that this Drosh of the Pasuk should contradict the general Halacha of Dichoy that we have. Or, as the Sfasemis says, this should force us to say that it's kosher even at the time when the Levina is there, so that it should not stand in contradiction with the Din of Dichoy. So the Gemara is asking, well, how can this be so? It's a heavy dihui. How can we have learned from this price that it's possible when the Levina is there, and then it becomes kosher when the Levina is removed, when this stands in contradiction to the entire din of dihui? And it's not mistaber that this drasha should contradict the din of dihui. Al Kaponim, both according to Tosis and according to the Shita Mekubetzis, Pshat as the Shita Mekubetzis brings, the kasha is on the halacha of it becoming kosher once more. Once it's been possible because it had Levina on it, how can we say that it becomes kosher again? And this the Gemara answers, three terutzim. Omer Abaye, chatis kai rachmon. Abaye says, the Torah called it chatis, that in spite of the fact that there should apply over here the halacha of dihoi, once it's been possible, ordinarily we say that it's shuv ein anira, that it doesn't become kosher once more. Here we darshan from the word ki chatis, that the Torah does call it a chatis, that it's still kosher afterwards, that once we remove the levina, it becomes kosher. In other words, it's a gzeiras hakosev, that it should become kosher once more. Rava Omar, Rava says, homani chanan hamitzrihu, that who will be the author of this halacha, this will be the opinion of Hanan HaMitzri, the Leisli Tchuyah, that he doesn't agree with this halacha of Dichoy. And therefore, without the Pasuk, we would say that once a person puts Levina on it, that passels it forever, even though the Levina is removed. It doesn't matter. But if Levina was placed on it, that passels it. The Pasuk of Kichata teaches us that that is not so. The placing of Levina upon it does not passel it. What is with the problem of Dichoy? It was possible when the Levina was on it. We're following the opinion of Hanan HaMitzri, who doesn't agree with this halacha of Dichoy at all, and therefore Dichoy is not a problem. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Chanan HaMitzri says, Afilu dam b'kois, mevi chaveiroi shaloi b'hagrola u'mizaviglai. Now this is speaking about the Shnei Seirim on Yom HaKippurim, and the halacha is that the kapora of one depends on the other, that the Soyer HaMishtaleach has to still be there at the time of the Zrikas dam of the Soyer LaHashem, of the Soyer HaPnimi. And therefore, if the Soyer HaMishtaleach dies at any point, then the dam has been pushed aside from being used for Zrika because it does not have its fellow Soyer. The Soyer HaMishtaleach is no longer there. So it's been pushed aside from being used for Zrika. If we hold from the halacha of Dichoy, then it's impossible to now bring another Soyer and bring it as the Soyer HaMishtaleach and then to still use this dam because this dam has been pushed aside. Once it's been pushed aside, it can no longer be used. Chanan HaMitzri disagrees with the halacha of Dichoy and says, Afilu dam b'kois, even if the dam was already in the kois. In other words, it's already been shechted, and it's already ready for, and the dam has already been received in a kli, and it's already ready for zrik. The dam is already there in the kois, in the cup. Nevi chaveiroi shaloi b'hagrola, that he brings its fellow. In other words, then he brings another soyer for the soyer mishtalech, without having to do another hagrola, without having to cast lots again. He merely brings another soyer and designates it as the soyer mishtalech. And he joins it up as a pair, he pairs it with this. In other words, he takes it and designates it as the Soyer HaMishtaleach, as the pair for this dam shebekoyt, and then he can zayrik the dam shebekoyt. Even though at the time when the Tsar HaMishtalech died, this dam shebekoyt was considered to be dochi, it was pushed aside, still says Chanan HaMitzri that he doesn't agree with the halacha of dichoy. And he says that we can now bring another Tsar, match it up with this one, designated as the Tsar HaMishtalech, and then we can go ahead with the zrika of this dam shebekoyt. So he doesn't agree with the halacha of dichoy at all. And our Tana will be following this opinion, will be Chanan HaMitzri, who does not agree with the halacha of dichoy. And therefore he can say that we learn from the pasuk that the fact that a person puts levoina on the mincha doesn't disqualify it. And even though it's disqualified at the time that the levoina is on the mincha, this doesn't mean that that it remains disqualified afterwards, because we don't agree with the halacha of dichoy at all. But enochinami, according to the Man D'Yomar that there is dichoy, then we would say that it's disqualified forever. And we won't say that it becomes kosher once the levoina is removed, because although perhaps the levoina doesn't pass with forever, but there's a lach of dichoy. If at the time when the levoina is on it, it's dochoy, it's posel, then it won't become kosher when the levoina is removed, according to the Man D'Yomar that there is dichoy. But our Tana holds a Chanan HaMitzri that there is no dichoy. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi says a third teret, kol shebiyodai vayhavi dichoy. We don't have to say that this Tana holds like Chanan HaMitzri, who doesn't agree that there's a halacha of dichoy. We can say that there is a halacha of dichoy. However, anything which is biyodai, anything which is in the hands of the person to take away, it's a psul which can be removed, which is within the control of the person to remove, vayhavi dichoy. Then we don't say that the halacha of dichoy applies. Since even at the time of the psul it can be removed, the halacha of dichoy does not apply. So since over here, although the levoina disqualifies the mincha when the levoina is on the mincha, but since all he has to do is take away the levoina, that doesn't accomplish the halacha of dichoy. And therefore, when the levoina is removed, we don't consider it to be dochi, and it can be used. It's considered to be a mincha kshera, and the avodah that he now does will be kosher. So not because we don't agree that there is a halacha of dichoy, but rather because something that is biyodai, that even at the time of the psul, it's within his power to remove the psul, that's not considered to be dochi. And therefore, when the psul is removed, we say that once again, it's kosher. So these are three terutzim then on the kasha of how can we say that at the time the levoina is there, it's posel, and later it's kosher. The first teretz is that it's a gzeiras hakasev. The second teretz is that enochinami, this is following the opinion that there is no such thing as dichoy. And the third opinion is that the loch of dichoy here would not apply because it is biyodai, because even at the time of the psul, he can remove it. Om Ravada, kavoseid Ravashi mistabra. Ravada said that it is mistabra to say the opinion of Rav Ashi, that even if we hold that there is such a thing as dichoy, but when something is biyodai, it's not considered to be dochoy. Then he brings a proof to this. The man shamat lei the isle the chuyin, who is the Tana that we know says that there is a halacha of dichoy? Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Ditznanas. We learned in the Mishnah in Yuma, v'oidom Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, in addition to a previous halacha, nishbach adam yomus hamishtaleach, that if the dam of the soyer lachatos, which was spilt, then yomus hamishtaleach, then the soyer hamishtaleach, the other soyer, has to be put to death, because we say that since it cannot be mechaper without the soyer lachatos, therefore, it's considered to be disqualified now from being used as a Sor HaMishtalech, and it's impossible to merely bring once more the Sor HaLachatos and Shechter HaMizoyrik the dam and still use this Mishtalech, because since this Sor HaMishtalech has been pushed aside, it's been Dochui, it's Kivin Denitzche Yitzche, that since it's been pushed aside, it remains pushed aside and it cannot be reused. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is a halacha of dichoy, and he takes it to the extreme. He even applies it to Bali Chaim, Yomus HaMishtalech, and Meis HaMishtalech, Yishofech HaDam. That if the Sor HaMishtalech dies before the Zrika was done with the Sor, with the dam of the Sor Lechatas, then we say that that dam has to be spilled out. This is in opposition to Chanan HaMitzri that we learned before. This is a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda of the Rabbanon, that there is a halacha of dichoy, and therefore if the Mishtalech dies, this dam at that point cannot be used as the dam of the Sor Lechatas, because its fellow Sor, the Sor HaMishtalech, is no longer alive. And unlike Chanan HaMitzri, who says that we then bring another Sawyer and designate it as the Sawyer Mishtalech, and then we can use this dam, because Chanan HaMitzri says there is no halach of dichoy, and even though it's already in a state of shchut, it was already meshechta, there's no halach of dichoy, Rav Yehuda says that there is halach of dichoy, and this dam has to be spilled out. Therefore, in both of these cases, whether it's nishbach hadam, and then we say Yomus HaMishtalech, that the Mishtalech has to die, we can't use it as a Sor HaMishtalech, or Meis HaMishtalech, Yishofech HaDam, we say that this dam can't be used, the halacha will be that two new Seirim have to be brought, and Hagrola will be done once more, and we'll have a Sor LaShem, and a Sor LaAzazel. But neither of these can be used because of the halacha of Dichoy. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is a halacha of Dichoy, the Ilu Hecho de Biyodai, And still we find that in a situation where it's biyada, where a thing is temporarily pushed aside for being used, but it's biyada, it's within the hand of the person to rectify the situation and to use it once again, that the halacha of dichud does not apply. And however, where it is biyada, Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that Rabbi Yehuda says concerning the Korban Pesach, kois hoya memale midam hataaruvais, that he would fill up a kois from the blood of the mixture of the korbanos pesach that are to be found in the Azara. Rabbi Yehuda wanted to try to attempt to make sure that every korban pesach had its dam thrown on the side of the mizbeach. And it's possible that after the dam was received in a vessel, that it had spilled. So maybe the dam of one of the korbanos pesach that was shechted there, they did it in a great hurry, maybe the dam of one of them spilled. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda said that after everything is done, they would fill up a cup from the blood of the mixture of the dam that's to be found on the floor of the Azara. And he would throw it with one throwing on the side of the Mizbech corresponding to the Yisoid, above the Yisoid. So in case that one of the Korbanos Pesach, if the Dam had spilt from the Kli after Kabbalah Saddam, it would now be found within this mixture, a kosher would be found in this mixture, of Yehuda holds that min b'min loy batel, and therefore it would now be considered to be a kiyum of the din of Zrika, that he would now make the Zrika, all it requires is one Zrika. In spite of the fact that at the time that it was on the Ritzah, that it was on the floor of the Azor, it wasn't in a Kli Sharet, and it wasn't fit for Zrika at that time. Nonetheless, he can now make the Zrika. Why is this? Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's a loch of dichui. We see from this that since it's biyadai, since it's pushed aside at that time, but at any time he can pick up the dam and throw it on the side of the mizbeach, that we don't apply the halacha of dichui. So this is Rav Ada's raya to Rav Ashi, that kol shebiyadai loy havi dichui, and therefore he says that his teretz is the correct teretz, that in this situation of the levaina, the halacha of dichui does not apply at all, since we learn from the pasuk that it is after the levaina is taken off, it can be used, since at any time he can remove the levaina, this does not stand in contradiction to the halacha of dichud. That's the Gemara according to the Girsa and the Pshat of Tosfos. Now Rashi has the Girsa and the Gemara that we have printed in our Gemara, and it's explained somewhat by Tosfos as well. Tosfos explains the sheet of Rashi. Going back to the Gemara's Kasha, the Gemara's Kasha is the Tehevi Pach. This is a direct kasha on the Braisa which the Gemara just quoted. The Gemara quoted the Braisa saying that if at the time that the Levaina was on the Mincha, he did an Avoida, whether it be with a Machshava of Shaloi ben Koyma or with a Machshava of Shaloi Bizmanoi, that we say that it's possible of Ember Kars, it does not become Pigul. If after the Levaina was removed, if he had a Machshava of Chutzlun Koyma, that's possible of Ember Kars, but Chutzlun Manoi is Pigul, Vachayovan Olav Kars, because then it's once again Kosher, and a Machshava at that time, if it's a Machshava of Chutzlun Manoi, will make it into Pigul. And this the Gemara asks, the Tehevi Pach, let this case when the Levaina is on the Mincha be just like a Pach of Shemen. A Pach means a flask of Shemen had been poured on the Mincha. In other words, the Levaina is still on the Mincha, we should look at it as if a Pach of Shemen has been poured on the Mincha. The Amai Postle B'Machshava, and why does this Machshava at the time that the Levaina is on the Mincha passel it at all? It shouldn't be enough that we should say that it doesn't make it into pigul. Why does it passel it at all? Dochuyu, since this mincha at the time that levaina is on it is pushed aside completely from being used as a mincha, it's considered to be a mincha psula, then how does the machshava of either chutzlum koyme or chutzlum zmanai at that time have any effect on it at all? That's how Rashi learns the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara was never asking how could it be that afterwards it becomes kshera once more. We knew from the Braisa before that there's a drasha of kichatos, that it does become kosher once more. The Gemara is asking the opposite, that even if he had a machshavas psul at the time when the levaina was on the mincha, that when the levaina is removed, this shouldn't have any effect on it, and the mincha should be kosher once more, and the machshavas psul shouldn't passel it at all. That's the Gemara's kasha, that when the levaina is removed, it should be kosher completely, and the machshavas psul shouldn't have any effect on it. And in the Braisa it says that even a machshava at the time when the levaina was on the mincha has an effect on it, and makes it into a mincha psul, that this is considered to be a machshavas psul. And this Gemara answers, and this is where the difficulty begins according to Rashi. The Gemara answers, Abaya says that Chatis Kari Rachmana, that Abaya says that the Torah called it Chatis, which apparently according to Rashi we'll have to learn means that since the Torah says that it's a Chatis and it becomes kosher when the Levaina is removed, then even at the time that the Levaina is there, we don't consider it to be possible to that extent that the Machshava can't have any effect upon it. The Brisker Rav points out that this is a difficult answer because we know that Chatis just means that afterwards it becomes kosher. But when the Levaina is there, it's not kosher at that time. But we'll have to say that the Gemara's teretz is that even at that time, it's not possible to the extent that the Machshava shouldn't have an effect. And we say that the Machshava psula does possibly. And the other two terutzim will have to be understood to be saying that Rav is saying that this is following the opinion of Chanan HaMitzri, that there's no halach of dichoy. Since there's no halach of dichoy, so even when the Levaina is on the Mincha, it's not considered to be disqualified forever. And therefore, the Machshava can still possibly. Even though the Gemara knew in any case that afterwards it becomes kosher because of the gzeiras hakasav of kichatas, but that wouldn't be a reason why it should not be considered completely possible at the time that the levain is on the mincha. And this the Gemara answers, yeah, but according to Chonam HaMitzri, there's no halacha of dichoy, so therefore even at the time that levain is on the mincha, it's not possible to that extent. Or as Ravashi says, since it's biyodoy, it's therefore not considered to be possible at to that extent, even at the time when the levain is on the mincha, since it's biyodoy to take off the levain. So the terutzim of the Gemara are quite difficult to understand according to Rashi, since sof-sof at the time that levaina is there, it is not kosher levaina, and the Gemara knew even before that when the levaina is removed, it is kosher. So what is the Gemara answering in these three terutzim? We have to say that the terutzim are somehow that even at the time that levaina is on it, it's not possible to that extent, and we say that therefore the machshava does have an effect. Tosis disagrees with Rashi completely and says that it never said in the Braisa that the machshava of psul that he had at the time that levain is on the mincha makes it possible. The reason why it's possible if he does an avoida with the machshavas psul at the time that levain is still on the mincha is because that avoida is possible, because levain is still on the mincha, and that disqualifies the avoida. Not because the machshava has any effect at all, but rather because at the time the levain is still on the mincha, everything he does at that time is in any case possible. That's all the Braisa is saying. The Braisa is saying that if at that time he had a machshava of chutzlis lemkayim, it's possible the emikaros. It's possible because when he did the avoid, it was possible, and therefore if that avoid was done, bipsul, and the machshava doesn't have any effect at all. Only a machshava which he does after the levainer was removed has an effect. But Rashi learns that it's mashma in the Braisa that this is a machshavas psul, that although it doesn't make it into pigul, but it is a machshava to passel it. And the Gemara is asking on this, how is it that that machshava passels it, since at that time it's completely disqualified from being a mincha, in spite of the fact that we learn from chatas that afterwards it becomes kosher, but at this point it's really something which should be disqualified. And that the Gemara answers that even at the time when the levain is on it, it's not disqualified to that extent, and therefore the machshava does have an effect upon it and accomplishes that it should be possible. It's considered to be done with a machshava psula. The Sfas Emes explains the difference between learning that it's possible because the avoida was done, for example, the kmitza was done at the time when the levaina was still on it, and between learning as Rashi does that it's, if there was a machshava at that time, that it makes it possible because of a machshava psula. If it's possible because the avoida was not done, then the halacha would be that after he removes the levaina, he could put back the kmitza that he had taken and do it again. He can do that avoida over. But according to Rashi, he learns that the pshat in the braisa is that it's a machshava psula. If he has a machshava at the time of the kmitza when the levaina was still on it, that machshava passels it. In which case, the mincha from that point on is passels, and even after he removes the levaina, he won't be able to do the kmitza over, to return and do the kmitza over, because it has become possible because of a result of a machshava psula. And that's what the Gemara is discussing. Why should that machshava psula have any effect? And the Gemara says that in fact it does. Now we go back to the Gemara, 6 lines from the bottom, Omer of Yitzchak bar Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. This continues with halachas of Shemen and Levaina, Anam in Chaschayte. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Nosan mashuhu Shemen, al gabi kezayas mincha potzal. If he puts even a mashuhu of Shemen, even a minute amount of Shemen, on a kezayas of the mincha, he has passeled the mincha. So he's saying two chidushim, that the amount of Shemen which passels the mincha is even a mashuhu, it doesn't require a shear. However, it has to be placed on a kezayas of the mincha in order for it to be possible. If it's placed on less than a kezayas of the mincha, then we say that it does not passel the mincha. My time, what's the reason? We learn this from a pasuk. It says lo yosim. It says lo yosim aleh hashemen. Lo yosim is sima koldehu. The word yosim means placing, any kind of placing. There's no shear mentioned here. As opposed, the Gemara will say to the word nesina, which implies a shear, the word sima is koldehu. However, it says aleha. It says lo yosim aleha. The word aleha on it is mashma ad deiko shiur, until there is a shear, and the shear is a kezayas. That it can't be on a kol shehu of the mincha, it has to be on a kezayas of the mincha in order to passel it. The Likutei Halachos, the Chofetz Chaim, remains with the Tzoruchim. What exactly does the Gemara mean here? Does it mean that even if the mincha is together, and it of course is more than a kezayas, that we say that it only passels if this shemen was actually mixed into more than a kezayas of the mincha? But if it was mixed into less than a kezayas of the mincha, then the mincha is not possible, despite the fact that the mincha itself is of course more than a kezayas, but it will only be possible if the shemen actually mixed into more than a kezayas? Or, says the Chofetz Chaim, maybe that's not what it means. That, of course, would be possible, because if there's shemen on any part of the mincha, that means that there's shemen on more than a kezayas, because the mincha consists of more than a kezayas. Rather, maybe what the Gemara means to say is only that if the shemen wasn't on the mincha as a whole, if the shemen was placed only on the koimitz, after the kmitza was taken out, and the halacha is that a person can be makir the koimitz even less than a kezayas at a time, if there was then shemen on this piece of koimetz which was less than a kezayis, that won't passel it. But if the shemen is placed on something which is more than a kezayis, even if it's not mixed with the entire kezayis, that will passel it, because that's considered to be shemen on the entire item. So the Chofetz Chaim remains with the tzorachin, what is meant by this halacha. But al kaponim, the halacha is that it has to be on a kezayis in order for it to passel. From Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that in Levoin the halacha is the exact opposite. Not on kezayis Levoin al gabi mashu mincha possel. That if he puts a kezayis of Levoin, here we require a shear of a kezayis on a mashu of a mincha, that passels it. So on the one hand, when it comes to the amount of levoina, here we say that there is a shear, that a kezayis of levoina is required to passel, but it doesn't have to be on a kezayis of mincha. Even if it's on a mashu of mincha, that also passels it. The opposite of the halacha that we learned concerning the shemen. My time, what's the reason that we say that this is the halacha concerning levoina? Because in levoina, it says, v'lo yitein oleho levoina, lo yitein ksiv. It says, lo yitein adi'ika nesina, until there's a nesina. And as Rashi brings, the Rashi is printed on Samach Amud Aleph, that the word nesina implies a shear, as we find v'nosan l'koyin at the koydish, over there it's a shear of achila, so the word nesina implies a shear. So adi'ika nesina, since it says v'lo yitein, it means only if there's a shear nesina, which is a shear of a kezayis of levoina. Oleho, then it says oleho, it says l'yitin oleho levoina, so the word oleho, as we learned concerning shemen, should teach us that we need a shear, that it has to be on a kezayis. However, says the Gemara, that samachavi ribui acharibui, vein ribui acharibui elo lemayat. This is a ribui acharibui. We know from the word aleho that it says concerning shemen that it's only possible if it's on a kezayis. We will automatically apply the same halacha to the levoin as well, that it's only possible if it's placed on a kezayis of the mincha. And here we have the word aleho written again. It's a ribui acharibui. It's as if the Torah is telling us again that we require a kezayis. So we say in ribui acharibui elo lemayat. To the contrary, we say that once there is a ribui and the second ribui is not necessary, if there's a second ribui, that it takes it away. And it comes to teach us that it does not have to be placed on a kezayis in order to be posel. That's why the halacha concerning levoina comes out to be the opposite of the halacha concerning the shemen. The Ikari Amri, and some say there's a different version of this, Amr Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef said, boy Rav Yochanan, then Rav Yochanan asked a shayla, nosan mashuhu shemen al gabi kezayis mincha mahu, if he puts a mashuhu of shemen on a kezayis of mincha, what is the din? We're assuming that the din concerning levoina, since it says lo yitein, that nesina requires a shear, it means a shear of levoina of a kezayis. The question is concerning the mashu of shemen an a mincha. Mi ba'inan sima ke nesina oiloi. Do we require that the sima that it says in relation to the shemen, lo yosem aleha shemen, be the same amount as the nesina that it says concerning the levoina? In other words, we learn sima from nesina just as nesina is a kezayis. The sima is also a kezayis. Or we don't learn one from the other. And we say that in shemen, it doesn't require a shear of shemen in order to pass the mincha. Take with this remains a question according to this lashon of the Gemara. Continues the Gemara, Nosan Shemen al Shireho. The Mishnah then says that if he places Shemen on the Shirayim, once the Koimetz has been taken away from the Mincha, if he places the Shemen on the Shirayim, he's not transgressing the Lot. And then the Mishnah says, Nosan Kli al Gabi Kli loy posel, that if he places a vessel with Shemen on the vessel in which the Mishnah is held, this doesn't passel the Mincha. It only passels if the Shemen is actually placed in the Mincha itself, if there's actual contact between the Shemen and the Mincha. Says the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, lo yosim shemen v'lo yitin. It says in the Torah that he should not place shemen in the minchas choyte, nor shall he place levoina on the minchas choyte. Yochel, I would think b'shnei koyhanim. I would think that these two lavin, that these are treated as two separate lavin, and that this malchus for the transgression of each of these lavin, only if it was done by two koyhanim. If one koyhan put in the shemen and another koyhan put in the levoina, then I would say that the koyhan who put in the shemen is mechuyev malchus, and the koyhan who put in the levoina is mechuyev malchus. But if one koyhan did both, if he put in the shemen and the levoina, I would say that he only receives malchus once. That's a Rashi that's pshat in the Gemara. Talmud loymer aleho. That's why the Torah says aleho. It doesn't say lo yosim shemen. It says lo yosim aleho shemen. I would say that only if one koyan did the placing of the shemen and the other one did the placing of the levoina, that each one is mechuyev a separate malchus. But that if one koyan placed the shemen and the levoina, that he's only mechuyev malchus once. Talmud loymer aleho. That's what the Torah says aleho. It doesn't on say it. Begufa shel mincha kosuv medaber v'loy b'koyan. That the Torah is speaking about the very mincha itself and not about the koyan. In other words, that whatever it says in this pasuk depends on the mincha and doesn't depend on the koyhanim, on the amount of koyhanim who do these two things, who put the shemen and put the levoina. Therefore, whether it be two koyhanim, one koyan put the shemen and one koyan put the levoina, whether it would be one koyan who put both the shemen and the levoina, these are treated as two separate lavin. And even if it's one koyan, he's mechuyev malchus twice. The Braisa now goes on to darsh on the repetition of the word oleho that it says in the Pasuk. It says oleho, lo yosem oleho shemen, and it says lo yitin oleho levinus. It says oleho twice. This comes to teach, it says the Braisa, yochol lo yitin kli al gabi kli, the imnosan posel. I would think that he isn't even allowed to place a vessel containing shemen on the vessel which contains the mincha, and that if he does so, that this puzzles the mincha, even though there's no direct contact between the shemen and the mincha itself. Talmud Loimer Aleha. The Tosik says, Aleha, on it, the Gufa Shomincha Kosu Bendabra, speaking about the very Mincha itself, and teaching us that this Lavan, this Psul, only applies if the Shemen comes into actual contact with the Mincha itself. So that if he puts a vessel with Shemen on the vessel which contains the Mincha, or for that matter, as Lakut HaLochas points out, even on the Mincha itself, this is not a transgression of the Lavan. It doesn't passel because there's no actual contact between the Shemen and the Mincha. It's only if he pours Shemen on the Mincha when there's direct contact that he is transgressing this Lav and that it passels the Mincha. So this second drasha in the Braisa is the source for the halacha that we learned in our mission. In the beginning of the Braisa says, Yochol b'shnei kohanim, that I would think that it is the two kohanim, and Rashi learns pshat that this means, I would think that one it's only considered to be a separate transgression of two lavin. Lo yosem aleho shemen v'lo yitin aleho levoina are only counted as two separate lavin, and that there are two chiyuvim malchus, only if it is done by two kohanim. But if one kohen does both, I would say that he's only mechuyev malchus once, and the Braisa darshens from the word aleho b'guf v'shel mincha, that it doesn't matter how many kohanim, whether it's two or one, it's always considered two separate lavin, and there's always two chiyuvim malchus. That's how Rashi learns pshat in the Gemara. So I just asked on this, why would I think that there is only a chiyuv malchus separately for Shemen and for Levoina if it's done by two Koyanim? If it is two separate Lavin, and if therefore we say that if one Koyan does puts the Shemen, he is Mkuyiv Malchus, and another Koyan puts the Levoina, he is Mkuyiv Malchus, because it is two separate Lavin, then if it is done by one Koyan, then naturally he should be Mkuyiv Malchus twice. It's a transgression of two Lavin. Why would I say that there's a half a minute to think that if it's done by one Koyan, that he is Mkuyiv Malchus only once? That's what Tosfos asks on Rashi's Pshat. Tosfos therefore offers two different Pshatim in this Gemara, in fact, two Pshatim which oppose one another. The first pshat is that the pshat in the Braisa is Yochol b'shnei koyanim, that I would think that the chiyuv for the two lavin is only if it's done by two koyanim, which means to say if it's done in two different menachas. Ordinarily, two different menachas would be done by two different koyanim, and the Braisa is expressing two different menachas by saying b'shnei koyanim. So I would think that there is only a separate chiyuv for shemen and a separate chiyuv for levoina if the shemen was placed in one mincha and the levoina was placed in the other mincha, because then both the shemen and the levoina were placed in a mincha which was kosher at the time. That's what the Braisa means by shnei koyanim. But I would think that if it is done by one koyan, meaning if it's done in one mincha, whether it's actually done by one koyan or by two koyanim, that's not the point according to Tosfos. But if it is done in one mincha, I would say that one is only mechuyev for placing the shemen. But once the shemen has already been placed in the mincha and the mincha is already posel, then there is no longer a chiyuv for placing the levoina, because now he's putting the levoina in a mincha which is already posel. That's the pshat of the Braisa according to the first pshat of Tosfos. Yochol b'shnei koyanim, the point is not really the fact that it's done by two koyanim, it's just that ordinarily two different menachas would be done by two koyanim, and I would think that there's only a separate chiyuv if one places the shemen in a mincha which has neither shemen or levoina, and places the levoina in a mincha which has neither shemen or levoina. But I would say that there is no chiyuv, a separate chiyuv on the levoina if he has already placed the shemen. That's why the Torah says begufa shel mincha, that in the very same mincha he is mechuyev both for putting the shemen and for putting the levoina, in spite of the fact that the mincha is already posel from the time that he places the shemen in the mincha. The same would be true for vice versa. If he first places the levoina and then puts the shemen, there would also be a chiyuv for each of these separate actions. The second pshat in Tosfos brings b'shem Rabbeinu Tam is the exact opposite. Yochol b'shnei koyhanim means that I would think that one is mechuyev even though the placing of the shemen and the placing of the levoina are not done b'vasachas, they're not done simultaneously, even if they're done one after the other. That's what the Braisa means to say by shnei koyhanim, because Tosfos says ordinarily the different avoidas in the mincha are divided between different koyhanim. It's not necessarily one koyhan who does all of the avoidas. So the Braisa, by saying yochol b'shnei koyhanim, means I would think that the chiyu applies even in a case when first the placing of the shemen is done and then the placing of the levoina is done, which would ordinarily be done by two different koyhanim, and I would think that there is a chiyuv in such a case in spite of the fact that the mincha was posel from the time that the shemen was placed in the mincha. Says the Braisa, it says aleha begufa shel mincha, in the mincha itself, one is only mechuyev for placing shemen in a mincha which is gufa shel mincha, which has nothing else in the mincha, nothing added to the mincha. In other words, when there's no levoina on the mincha, one is only mechuyev for the levoina when there has not been any shemen added to the mincha. or as Tosfos offers, that begufa shel milchamim when the mincha is kshera. So to the contrary, we learn from this pasuk of Aleha that one is only mechuyev if he places this at the time when the mincha is kosher. So he'll only be mechuyev twice if he places them both bevasachas. If we say efshel tzamtzum, if it's possible to actually do two things simultaneously, he will then be mechuyev malchus for shemen and levoinim. But ordinarily, the chiyuv will only be for placing either the shemen in the mincha, which till that point was kosher, the minchas chayta, which was kosher, or putting the levina in the minchas chayta, which was kosher until that time. But he will not be mechuyev if he first does one and then does the other, because from the time that it's possible, when he places the shemen, there's no longer a chiyuv for the levina. So then it's a machloikas in Tosfos, according to the first pshat in Tosfos, the braisa was suggesting that perhaps there is no chiyuv if the mincha has already become possible through placing the shemen, that there is then no chiyuv for the levina, and we learn from Aleha that there is a chiyuv nonetheless, that he's mechuyev for placing the levina on the very same mincha on which the, in which the shemen was placed. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the maskana of the braisa is the exact opposite. The braisa was suggesting that there is a chiyuv even in such a case, even where the levina was placed on a mincha which already had shemen in it, on a mincha's kacheta was already disqualified by having shemen placed in it, and kamashalom, we say begufishal mincha, that there is only a chiyuv for placing shemen or levina when the mincha's kacheta has not yet been disqualified by placing the other item. That's the maskana of the braisa according to Rabbeinu Tam. The following Mishnah now teaches us where the halacha of hagosha, of touching the mincha to the corner of the mizbeach, applies. It says in Vayikra, in the parsha of Menachos, after the Torah lists the various kinds of Menachos, the Torah says, "Hevesa es ha-mincha she'ose me'eva l'Hashem." You shall bring the mincha, which will be made out of from one of these different kinds of Menachos. You shall bring it to Hashem, bring it to the Beit Hamikdash, v'hikrivo el ha-koyen, and he should bring it to the koyen, v'higisho el ha-mizbech, and the koyen should bring it close, should touch it to the mizbech. As Rashi explains, on that pasuk, "Magisho l'keren droimis ma'rovis shel mizbech," that he touches it to the southwestern corner of the Mizbech. Now this is learned in the Gemara, in our Masechta, Daf Yutes Omid Beis, from the Pasuk in Sav, in Vayikra Vav, where the Torah says, "V'zoish Torah ha-mincha hakriv oiso b'nei Aharon lifnei Hashem o p'nei ha-mizbech." That's a repetition of this mitzvah of Hagosha, and the Torah there says, "Hakriv oiso b'nei Aharon," that the b'nei Aharon should draw it close, meaning close to the Mizbech, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, o p'nei ha-mizbech, to the face of the Mizbech. And the Gemara explains, on Daf Yutes Omid Beis, that lifnei Hashem would seem to mean Mairav, on the western side, towards the direction of the Heichel, and Pnei HaMizbech is called Dorim, is the south side where the Kevish is. So we learn from this that it has to be touched to the southwestern corner of the Mizbech. That's the mitzvah of Hagosha, and that is done before the Kmitzah. Says our Mishnah, Yesh Teunais Hagosha, Ve'ein Teunais Tnufa. There are items of Kodesh Menachos which require Hagosha, but do not require Tnufa. Tnufa is the waving to and fro and up and down, which in Mishnah we will learn more about in the next Mishnah. Hagosha u'tnufa. There are items of Kodesh which require both Hagosha and Tnufa. Tnufa v'loi Hagosha. There are items of Kodesh which require Tnufa but do not require Hagosha. Loi Tnufa v'loi Hagosha. And then there are items of Kodesh which require neither Tnufa nor Hagosha. The Mishnah begins with ve'elu t'unais Hagosha, ve'ein t'unais Tnufa. The following require Hagosha but do not require Tnufa. This is the majority of Menachos, and therefore our Mishnah begins with the list of those that require Hagosha and do not require Tnufa. Mincha tasoilis, the mincha of soilis, the mincha where the kmitza is done before it is baked, when it's still in the form of flour. The hamachavas, that which is baked in a shallow pan. The umarcheshes, that which is baked in a deeper pan. The hachalois, the harakikin, the two kinds of mincha ma'afetana, the two kinds of mincha which are baked in an oven. Chalois, the thicker loaves, and the thin wafers. Those are the two choices that a person has when he makes a netter to bring a mincha ma'afetana. Minchas koyhanim, a mincha which is brought by a koyan, in spite of the fact that it has a different halach, it's burned completely on the mizbeach, it still requires hagosha. Uminchas koyan mashiach, the mincha of the koyan godl, the chavita koyan godl, which he brings every day, a half of a nisarn in the morning, half of a nisarn in the afternoon. Minchas nochrim, a mincha which was sent by a goy to the Beit HaMikdash. Minchas noshim, a mincha which was sent by a woman. Uminchas choyte, and also the minchas choyte. The minchas choyte does not require shemen or levina, but it is also included in the halacha of hagosha. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, minchas koyanim uminchas koyan mashiach, ein behen hagosha. That he argues on two of these listed in the Mishnah, that the minchas koyanim and the minchas koyan mashiach do not have hagosha, they don't require hagosha, lefisha ein behen kmitza, because there is no kmitza in these two menachas. There's no portion of them which becomes mutter to the koyhanim. The entire mincha is burnt on the mizbech, and no kmitza is done. For kol she'ein behen kmitza, ein behen hagosha. And any mincha which does not require kmitza, because the shirayim are not mutter to a koyan, there is no hagosha. So the mitzvah of hagosha does not apply to these two menachas. And we'll see, Mr. Shem, in the Gemara, where he darshens this from. Says the Gemara, Om Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, made the same comment as we had on the previous Mishnah, Kol Heichad Etznan, Eser Etznan. Whenever the Tana gives us this list, he is always counting 10. And as we learned before, Rashi said two pshatim on this. The first pshat is that whichever kind of mincha is mentioned by the Tana, it always is baked in the form of 10 loaves. My kamashlan was the chiddush of Rav Papa, lafukamid Rabbi Shimon, to exclude and to say that our Tana is not following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, to omer mechza chalus to mechza rekikin yavi, that a person who accepts upon himself to bring a minchas ma'afet taner has a third option. He can either bring 10 chalus, or he can bring 10 rekikin, or he can make his mincha consist of 5 chalus and 5 rekikin. Kumash Balandaloy, that our Tana tells us that this is not so according to Rav Papa, since it says, the Rav Papa says that every item mentioned in our Mishnah is baked in the form of 10 loaves, then he's telling us that all of these in the Mishnah are the same, and hinting to it that we don't agree with Rav Shimon, who says that the chalus or rekikin can sometimes be baked as 5 and 5. According to the other pshat in Rashi, the other pshat was that Kol Heichad Etznan Es Etznan means whenever the Tana gives a list of the menachas, he always lists 10. He does not list 11, because chalas is one kind of mincha, counted as one kind of mincha, rekikin is another kind, but he doesn't count an 11th category, which consists of both chalas and rekikin. He only gives us 10 kinds of menachas. That is because there is no 11th kind, which consists of a combination of chalas and rekikin, because the Tana does not hold like Reb Shimon. Continues the Gemara, Minohani Mili. How do we know this halacha that we have learned in our Mishnah, that these 10 menachas do require hagasha, and according to Reb Shimon, the minchas koyim and minchas koyim mashiach do not require hagasha, and that other menachas, as we learn in the next Mishnah, the lechem haponim, the shtei halechem, the minchas nesachim, do not require hagasha. The Gemara now brings a long brisa from Toyas Kayanim, which darshans the pasuk concerning hagasha, and from which we learn where the halacha of hagasha applies. Detonu Rabbanan, as we learned in a brisa. Now the pasuk concerning Hagasha reads, "Veheveisa es hamincha asher ye'ase me'ela l'Hashem." You shall bring the mincha which will be made from these, from the different kinds of menachas, to Hashem. Ve'hikriva el ha'kohen, you will bring it to the kohen. Ve'higisha al ha'mizbech, and the kohen should make Hagasha to the mizbech. And then it tells us that the kohen then does the kmitza. Says the brisa, "Ilu ne'amar veheveisa asher ye'ase me'ela l'Hashem ve'hikriva el ha'kohen ve'higisha." If it would have said in the pasuk, you will bring that which is made from these to Hashem, and then Hagosha should be done. If it wouldn't have said in the pasuk, es hamincha, it would have just said, v'heveisa she'yasa me'ela l'Hashem, v'yisi yoymer ein li shaton Hagosha el koymet bulvar. I would have said that the only item which requires Hagosha is the koymet itself. Because it says, that which will be made from these l'Hashem. It seems from the pasuk that that which is brought to Hashem, in other words, that which is burnt on the Mizbeach, that there is a mitzvah of Hagosha. So I would say that we do the kmitza, and then that the koyimit is touched to the mizbeach. Mincha minayin, how do I know that this is not so? That it's the entire mincha, to the contrary, before the kmitza, which requires hagasha. Talmud loymar, mincha. That's why the Torah says, mincha. Instead of saying, vehevesa sheyosam yeilat, it says, vehevesa is hamincha sheyosam yeilat. So from the word mincha, we learn that it applies to the entire mincha. Minchas choyte minayin. How do we know that even a minchas choyte is included in this halacha, in spite of the fact that minchas choyte is not mentioned in this parsha, and it's different from other menachas, it doesn't require shemen or levina. Talmud loymar, es hamincha. The Torah says, es hamincha. This is a ribui, the extra hay is a ribui, it comes to be mar, but also minchas choyte according to this tan. The brisa continues, v'dinhu. Why do I require a special drosha to teach me that minchas choyte is included in the halacha of hagasha? I would know it as a svara. V'dinhu, it's a svara, and I don't require a drosha for it. Ne'mar havei b'minchas choyve. That's the correct girsa, as it says on the side of the Gemara. That's the girsa in the Taras Koyanim. It says havei. It says bring the mincha concerning the minchas choyve. It says concerning the minchas choyte, which is a mincha which must be brought. Ve'hivio el ha'koyen. Ve'nemar havei b'minchas nadove. And it says the word havei, bring it concerning the minchas nadove. It says ve'hiveso. Minchas of nadova, which are mentioned in this parsha. Ma minchas nadova to una hagasha, af minchas choyve to una hagasha. I would ordinarily say then that just as the minchas nadova in this parsha requires a gosha, then a minchas choyve, the minchas choyve which is brought as a choyve by the person who has to, also requires a gosha. So the brisa is presenting a question: why do we need a drasha for this? Says the brisa, mala minchas nadova shkein to una shemen ulevayna. That I would say that no, that we only have to have hagasha concerning minchas nedova, because we find concerning minchas nedova that it requires shemen and levayna. Mashenka the minchas choyte does not require shemen or levayna. Therefore, I would say this doesn't require hagasha either. Says the brisa, no, minchas soite techiach, that I would bring a proof from minchas soite. We have a ribui in this pasuk, as the brisa itself will tell us, for minchas soite. The minchas soite also requires hagasha, and that will serve as proof for the minchas choyte. It also does not require shemen ulevayna, and still we see that hagasha is required. So once again, I would say mitzad hasfara that a minchas choyte requires hagasha. Says the Braisa, Mala Mincha Soite Shkein to Una Tnufa, that I would have a Pircha, that a Mincha Soite requires Tnufa, as it says explicitly in the Parsha of Soite, that that Mincha has a special Halacha that it needs Tnufa. So I would say that only the Mincha Soite that requires Tnufa requires Hagosha, but that the Mincha Soite which does not require Tnufa, it doesn't require Hagosha either, and that's why I need the Drosha. Says the Braisa, Minchas Nedova Techiach. No, but I would be able to bring a proof to this from Minchas Nedova. Minchas Nedova doesn't require Snufa, as we learn in our Mishnah, and still it requires Hagosha. V'chazer Hadin, and the Din would go back. Loire Izeh Kiri Izeh, V'loire Izeh Kiri Izeh. That which is the characteristic of this is not the characteristic of the other. In other words, I can learn it from a combination of Minchas Nedova and Minchas Soite. The Minchas Nedova does not require Snufa. The Minchas Soite does not require Shemin Ulevain. Atara Shova Shebehen, Sheshovu Lekmitza, Veshovu. That which is common between them is that they are both equal in that they require kmitza, and the Torah tells me that they are also equal in that they both require hagosha. Then I would be able to learn from this also the minchas choyte, which is equal to them in the fact that it requires kmitza, that it should also require hagosha. And again, I shouldn't need a drosha. Says the Braisa, Mala Tzad Hashava Shebehen Shekein Huchshu Lovay Ba'osher Kiba'oni, that there's a Tzad Hashava between the Minchas Nedova and the Minchas Soite, that they are properly brought by an Osher just as by an Oni. They're not a Mincha which is brought specifically by an Oni. An Osher who's been out of a Mincha brings these same Menachas, and a Soite, whether it's an Osher or an Oni, doesn't make any difference, brings this Minchas Soite. So these Menachas are brought by an Osher as by an Oni. Would you apply this halacha of Agosha? I would be unable to apply this halacha of Agosha to a minchas choyte which is not brought by an osher as it is by an oni, because the minchas choyte is only for certain aveiros where the korban is an oil of the yared, where if the person is an osher, he brings one kind of korban, brings a chatas. If he's an oni, then he brings two tzipayrim, two birds, and if he's dali dalas, if he's very poor, then he brings a mincha, and that's brought as a minchas choyte. So it's only for an oni, only for a person who's very poor, who can bring this as a mincha. So this is a pircha. It's not a kind of mincha which can be brought by anyone. It can only be brought by the oni, and therefore this is a pircha. I wouldn't be able to know that the mitzvah of hagosha applies. Talmud Loimar es hamincha concludes the brisa that therefore the Torah tells me es hamincha, and from the hay we learn a ribui, which is marba that a minchas choyte also requires hagosha. Continues the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Rabbi Shimon says, as Rashi points out, Rabbi Shimon is not arguing on the Tanakama, he's making other drushes on this pasuk. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Rabbi Shimon says, Vehei Vesa. The pasuk says, Vehei Vesa is a mincha sheyosam el Hashem, you shall bring it. Says Rabbi Shimon, the rabbi is mincha sa'omer la hagosha. This comes to include mincha sa'omer also for hagosha. We don't have mincha sa'omer mentioned in our Mishnah because mincha sa'omer requires Tnufa. Therefore, it is mentioned in the next Mishnah as something which requires both Tnufa and Hagosha. It doesn't say Hagosha explicitly, and we learn it from this word of the Hevesa. The Chain Hu Oimer, and similarly it uses the same word concerning the Minchas Oimer, Vevesa Mis Oimer Reishis Ksirchem El HaKoyen, that you shall bring the Oimer of the first of your harvest to the Koyen. This is talking about the Minchas Oimer, so it uses a similar word. So therefore, we darshan from this word, the Hevesa, to tell us that the Halacha of Hagosha applies also to the Minchas Oimer. The word Vevesa is considered to be a Ribui, and because of its similarity to the word veheveisem that it says concerning the minchas oimer, we say that that is what the Torah is being marbe. Oimer to teach us that there is a din of hagosha. Rabbi Shimon continues vehikrivo. It then says in the pasuk vehikrivo el hakoyin that the owner will bring it close to the koyin and the koyin will do hagosha. The rabbi's minchas soite hagosha. This comes to be marbe the minchas soite for the mitzvah of hagosha. And we find that a similar word is used concerning the minchas soite vechein hoimer, and so it says concerning the minchas soite vehikriv oisa el hamizbech. He shall bring it close to the mizbech. The Shita Megubet has asked the kasha that pasuk of vehikriv oisa el hamizbech that it says concerning minchas soite is in fact referring to hagosha. So why does this brisa, why does Rav Shimon have to learn it from the word vehikriva that it says in our parsha, in the parsha of the Minchas Nedava, to be marva Minchas Soite, and say it's similar to the word vehikriva that's used in Minchas Soite, that vehikriva is referring to Hagosha. The Shitim Gobetz says that that's true. However, we wouldn't know that the Hagosha is done in the same way. Here we learn, as we learned in the Gemara Daf Yotes Amid Beis, a limud how the Hagosha is done, that it's done in the Karen Dromis Maravit. And therefore, we learn that it's included in this mitzvah of Hagosha, that the Hagosha is done in the same way. That's the answer of the Shitim Gobetz. Rabbi Shimon continues, why do we need a ribui for mincha soite v'din hu? Why can't we learn it mitzad hasvara? Uma mincha soite she'eino t'una tnufa t'una hagosha. If we find concerning a mincha soite that it does not require tnufa, nonetheless it requires hagosha, as we learned from the previous drasha of es hamincha, mincha soite she'tuna tnufa eino din she'tuna hagosha, then mincha soite which requires tnufa, as it says explicitly in the parsha of soite, isn't it a kal v'chomer, all the more so that it should require hagosha? So why do we need this ribui? Says Rav Shimon, we do need this ribui for minchas soita because I have a pircha on the kal v'chomer. Malu minchas choyte shekein bo chitin. I would say that the mitzvah of agosh applies to the minchas choyte because it is brought from chitin. It's brought from soilus of chitin, and therefore it is similar to all other menachas. Chitin is what is brought in general for all of the menachas, with the exception of the minchas ha'omer and minchas soita. And therefore I would say that's why the mitzvah of agosh applies, but it should not apply to the minchas soita, which consists of sa'irim. The Brisa says, minchas ha'omer tachiyach. However, I could bring a mochiach. I can prove this from minchas ha'omer. Minchas ha'omer is also not chitim, it's also sa'irim, and still we find that the mitzvah of agosha applies. So I should be able to learn minchas ha'omer from minchas ha'omer. Ma'al minchas ha'omer shkein to una shemen ulevayna. I have a pircha, I can't learn minchas ha'omer from minchas ha'omer, because minchas ha'omer requires shemen ulevayna, masha'en kein minchas ha'omer. So perhaps the mitzvah of agosha does not apply. Minchas ha'omer tachiyach. But then I can say that I can prove it from minchas ha'omer. Minchas ha'omer also does not require shemen ulevayna, and still it requires hagosha, v'chozer hadin, and the din goes back. The characteristic of one is not like the characteristic of the other, and the characteristic of the other is not like the characteristic of this one. Hatzar hashavishabahen, that which is common between them, that which is common between minchas choyte and minchas ha'omer, sheshavu l'kmita, that they are the same in that they both require kmita, v'shavu b'hagosha, and the Torah says that they are also the same, and that they both require hagosha. Afani ovi, minchas choyte, sheshavu t'lehen l'kmita, tishvu l'hen hagosha, then I can learn as well that minchas choyte, which is the same as those two, in that it requires kmita, it's the same as minchas choyte and minchas ha'omer, it should also be the same and require hagosha. So we can learn it from its tzad hashoveh, from minchas choyte and minchas ha'omer. When we come to ask the pircha from minchas choyte, that it is chitim, we say that we can prove it from minchas ha'omer. And when we ask for minchas ha'omer that it requires shemen ulevayna, we say we can prove it from minchas choyte. And therefore we make a tzad hashoveh, and should be able to learn that the minchas choyte also requires hagosha. So we come back to the question in that case, why is the ribui necessary? Says the Brisa, says Rav Shimon, Ma'al ha'tzad ha'shova shebehen, shekein lihuch shiru lo v'kemech, that the tzad ha'shova between both minchas choyte and minchas ha'omer is that they are not kosher to be brought from kemach. Kemach is a coarser flour as opposed to soilus, which is fine flour. It's flour which has been sifted many times. That's called soilus. And although the minchas ha'omer is not brought from soilus of chitim, of wheat, but the barley flour from which it is brought is referred to in the Torah as geres, and that's the same quality as soilus and chitim. It too is sifted many times, and it's a very fine quality of flour. Toimar minchas soita shehuch shorlovei kemach. Can you apply the same thing, this mitzvah of hagosha, to minchas soita, which is kosher to be brought from kemach, from coarser flour? It's brought from soirim, and also the flour is coarse. So this is a pircha even to the tzad hashoveh. The tzad hashoveh of both minchas choyte and minchas ha'omer is that the flour from which they brought is fine flour, but the minchas soita is brought from coarse flour, from kemach. So I would say this is a pircha to the tzad hashoveh, that the mitzvah of agosha does not apply. Concludes Rav Shimon, Tamal Omer v'hikriva. That's why the Torah says v'hikriva, to be marbe minchas soita for hagosha. Rav Shimon did not explain to us why we need the word v'heveisa to teach us that the minchas ha'omer requires hagosha, and this will become clear in the continuation of the Gemara. This is still a continuation of the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, now Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing with Rabbi Shimon in Halacha, but he is arguing concerning his Rosh. Rabbi Yehuda says, Vehevesa, l'rabbeis minchas soite l'hagosha, that the word Vehevesa, which Rabbi Shimon darshan to be marba minchas Omer, says Rabbi Yehuda, that's coming to be marba minchas soite for hagosha. And he doesn't need the drasha of Vehikriva to be marba minchas soite. Later on, we'll see, as Rashi points out, that the word Vehikriva is used for something else, that it comes to exclude minchas nesachim from hagosha. But al kopanim, he tells us that we use the word vehevesa to be marbe minchas soita lagosha, v'chein hu oimer. Where do we find that this word, a similar word to vehevesa, is used concerning the minchas soita? It says, vehevi es korbona oleho, that he shall bring her korban with her. So it uses that word, the word vehevi, concerning minchas soita, and the word vehevesa is to be marbe minchas soita for hagosha. Now the continuation of the Gemara, avol minchas oimer lo yitzricha kra, and in fact the following 15 lines of the Gemara are not actually a part of the braisa of Torah Koyanim. The Gemara is interrupting the braisa to explain that which Rabbi Yehuda just said. Rabbi Yehuda just said that from the word vehevesa we are mar b'mincha soita for hagosha, and he's arguing on Rabbi Shimon, who says that vehevesa is mar b'mincha so'omer, and that from vehikriva we are mar b'mincha soita. The Gemara interrupts the braisa to explain the reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds that we don't need a ribui for mincha so'omer, and then to explain why Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and holds that a ribui is necessary. So the Gemara now goes into an explanation of this for the next 15 lines, and then gets back to the braisa with the words, oy enoy omer vehevesa, ela shiyochid misnadiv, etc. And Mirza Shem, the next year we will continue with the Gemara and then go on to the continuation of the braisa.